Greetings, Lisa Edwards here, CEO of Exclusive Career Coaching and host of the Exclusive Career Coach Podcast. Ready for some great career management content? Then let's dig in. Greetings. How's it going? How's your May? If you're listening to this when it comes out, how's your whatever month it is when you're listening to this? We're going to talk today about building and maintaining a professional network. I will argue that this has never been more important than it is right now, because increasingly clients are telling me that always gotten jobs their whole career. They've gotten jobs by people reaching out to them. They've never really had to do a job search. And now they are having to be more intentional about it and actually conduct a job search. And a big piece of that should be networking, right? So we're going to talk about that today. The first thing I want to touch base on before that is to remind you of what is the most popular package that clients get with me when they want to work one-on-one with me. And it's my document and coaching package. And I have this at four levels. All my packages are at four levels. We have recent college graduates, because I do still work with those folks, early to mid-career. So anybody from, you know, they've been out of college for a few years all the way up to mid-career. Then we have senior professional, and then we have the executive, so basically C-suite. And the document and coaching package includes resume, cover letter, LinkedIn profile, and the cover letter is included at no charge, and clients actually really love it. And then 3 one-hour coaching sessions, and we customize those sessions to the client's needs. So, for example, if they need help with interview coaching, that is always 2 sessions, and then we maybe do a job search strategy with a 3rd session. If they want help with job search strategy and networking and how to use LinkedIn to its best advantage, we can do that in 3 sessions. So we customize it to the client, and we actually spend time figuring out how we're going to use those sessions to the client's best advantage. So if you're interested in finding out more about my packages, document and coaching, or otherwise, the link is in the show notes to schedule a consult with me. All right. The first thing I want to say about building a professional network is that this is not just for when you're looking for a new job. In fact, if you spend regular time cultivating your professional network, you may not ever need to look for a job again. It really is cringeworthy to me when I hear people say things like, oh, yeah, I was networking, but I got my job, so now I don't have to network anymore, or something along those lines, because it tells me that they don't understand the value. So if you think about this as a, you know, we're using the term cultivating a relationship, a network. If you think about it in farming terms, you know, the farmer doesn't go out to his land and expect the crop to be there if he's done nothing. He's put no seeds in the ground. He's done no whatever it is that farmers do to the seeds, depending on what they are, I guess. He has not tilled the soil. He's done nothing. And he's like very confused as to why the corn's not there. It doesn't work that way, right? So we have to sow and reap, right? So that steady, consistent stream of effort into our network. And that's really what I want to talk to today about, that low level of its priority, but it is a low level. We don't have to have these spikes in activity with our network. You know, job searching, it's high activity. Then we're not job searching, but rather it's a more steady effort so that it is cultivated, it is there when we need it. And also, not for nothing, you get to help other people. So maybe you're networking at a time when there really is nothing on your agenda except how can I be of service to other people? I really think that's when the magic happens, because you never know what's going to come across your path for you or how you might change someone else's life by being available to network when you don't particularly, quote unquote, have to. All right. So let's talk about, first of all, sort of some of these things some of these steps that need to happen. Number one, you want to have a goal for your networking. So you may be looking for career opportunities, but that's not the only reason, of course, to network. You may be looking for a mentor. You may be looking to get clients. That's why I network. Seeking out collaborators. I might be seeking out opportunities for speaking engagements or for, you know, corporate engagements. It could be any number of reasons. You want to determine your why, because that's going to really drive the types of networking that you should engage in, and possibly how much time you want to devote to this. Number 2 is investigate the possibilities. So you want to look for networking events. I like the Chamber of Commerce is a good starting place. Could be professional associations, either that you belong to or that you could join. Service clubs. So here we're talking about Rotary, Kiwanis, those kinds of things. Industry conferences are a great place to network. Workshops and seminars. So places that you would go to get additional training and education. I recommend that you give a group at least two tries before deciding if it's a viable network venue for you. If you love them after the first one, that's great. But if you don't love them after the first one, unless it was just a really offensive experience, maybe give them another try, because you don't have enough data points yet. There are also events where networking is possible. So I like to, when I'm working with my clients, divide into networking events where networking is the specific purpose, and that has to do with like anything to do with the Chamber of Commerce is going to be a networking specific event. The word networking may be in the title of the thing, right? But then there's also these events where networking is possible, and I define that as the music isn't too loud and the people aren't too drunk. So even if there is like a wine tasting where alcohol is involved, you can absolutely network early on, preferably. But hopefully people aren't going to wine tastings to get schnockered. So think very broadly is the point that I'm making here. Think of the possibilities of where you might be able to network, where networking isn't the express purpose of the event, but all of those people there presumably have jobs, they have spouses, significant others, family members, friends, blah, 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 who have jobs, who are in different industries doing different kinds of things. So it's a pretty broad way that you can network. So things like if you look at the Facebook events tab, see what's coming up. So one of the things that I do at virtually every weekend is I get on Facebook sometime middle to the end of the week. And I do the Facebook events tab, and then I go in there and I can filter it by this weekend, events that are happening near me this weekend. And it's everything from music events to, oh, I don't know, some people are getting together and riding bikes to all kinds of things, art exhibits, whatever. So that's a good place to look. Meetup is going to be more for things you might want to join and be a part of. And I love Meetup as a way to be together with like-minded people, people who have a passion in the same area that you do, because again, they have jobs, their partners, their friends, they all have jobs. Also, think about events at your place of worship. Now, I'm very careful to say don't join a church because you want a job. However, if you go to a church, you should absolutely let people know as you attend events and do the things that you would normally do at church, let people know that you're looking for a job or whatever your networking purpose is. So there's also one-on-one networking, right? So primarily we've talked about group networking events, attending meetings and functions. With one-on-one events, you want to identify individuals who can support your goals. So this can be your current colleagues, former colleagues, alumni from your university, whether you knew them at the time you were both students there or you never crossed paths, they tend to want to help other alum, industry professionals, thought leaders in your field, whatever it may be, you can look in LinkedIn is the perfect place to find those folks. And of course, you want to be sure to follow up with contacts afterwards. So use LinkedIn as your old school Rolodex, right? Make sure you're connected with them. Thank them for meeting with you. Be sure and connect with them if you're not already. So that's number two, investigate the possibilities. Number three, I want you to join professional associations. So we just talked about some of the events that you might join, things like the chamber or a civic organization. So as appropriate, and this would go for professional associations as well. So maybe there's a local chapter of the American Marketing Association, something like that. If they turn out to be good fits for you, you really want to consider joining. And it's a cost-benefit thing. So look at what the amount of money is for a year as a member, and then what do you get for that amount of money? And I also want you to think about it as this is an opportunity to be more deeply involved with these people in this group and the people that group touches, some portion of the community maybe that they serve. Because typically, once you become a member, then you have the opportunity to join committees, be part of projects and initiatives, take on leadership roles. And that's where you can really network even more closely than just, you know, showing up for a monthly meeting or something like that. I think it would be irresponsible of me not to say at this point that when you join an organization and you want to get involved, really look at the committees or the opportunities that speak to your passions and your strengths. So be careful of, I remember I was, and I say this lovingly, I was a bit assaulted when I said I wanted to do something with my local group that I belong to. I won't mention the name of it. And they had a need for a webmaster. And they were like, can you do that? And there would be nothing. And I mean, I can't think of a thing that would be a worse fit for me than to try to be their webmaster. That does not play to my strengths and does not play to my passions. And I would be terrible at it. And then by extension, I wouldn't have a great reputation with the organization because I'm not doing a good job at the thing, right? So make sure that you are, you know, engaging in things that really interest you, that you can excel at and you can get a good reputation from. Number four, make sure your networking is an equal exchange of energy. That's how I talk with my clients about this. It's a two-way street. You want to give at least as much value as you get in terms of, you know, assistance, advice, support. You want to build goodwill and strengthen the relationship at both ends. If you get a reputation as what I call a networking barnacle, trust me, people will start to run in the other direction. They will not return your emails or your texts. They will not want to meet with you and they will not want to help you. You want to look for opportunities. I recommend that you allow the other person to talk first and talk about what they need and what's going on with them. Look, actively listen for opportunities to help them. And of course, you've got to follow up and follow through. So whatever you say you will do for them, you want to make sure that you do it. So again, that reputation that you build as a networker is gold. Number five, keep your online presence professional. We all know this one, right? But here's what I'm seeing on LinkedIn. We are not keeping it updated. So it's not that what's on there, we don't have, you know, beer pong photos on our LinkedIn profile, but what we do have is old. It's an old picture. It's a clearly neglected, rundown rental unit that we now have had to lower the monthly rate on because we can't get what we used to get from our renters because we have let the place go to seed. It's kind of what it looks like. It's a sad house. And I use that analogy because I often talk about your LinkedIn profile as being your home in this big global community called LinkedIn, and you want to have really great curb appeal. And curb appeal has to do with that immediate impression that they get when they look at your profile, but also what do they get when they drill down and start reading your content. So you want to keep it up to date. You also want to engage in meaningful conversations online, showcase your achievements and projects, tell people about the award you've won or the accolades you've received or the new, definitely your promotions and those kind of things. You just don't want to be embarrassed by your online presence. You don't want to have to make excuses for the status of your LinkedIn profile. Number six, don't let LinkedIn be the place that your communications go to die. So we talked about when you meet someone, you go to a networking event, you want to immediately connect with them. Follow up with a personalized message. If you are looking to reach out to someone, personalize that message. Don't just click the connect button. And after someone has accepted your invitation to connect, begin cultivating a relationship. Think of this as a dating relationship. I've talked about this before. You know, don't go from, hey, connect with me and buy my stuff or hire me, but cultivate a relationship that gets you where you want to go, but at a pace that is more palatable for the other person, that doesn't feel like an assault. You can also try with people that you've connected with, you know, let them know, hey, I'm thinking of you, thought I'd share this article I saw about your company. You know, if you see something about them, maybe you send it to them, not as if they haven't seen it, but just as a way to recognize, hey, congratulations on this award you won. Maybe there's an update in their industry that you think they may or may not have seen. Send that to them. I recommend that you set aside time each week specifically for the LinkedIn piece of your networking. For me, I spend 15 minutes twice a week. That's it. 30 minutes. Now, to be clear, I do additional posting of content on, let's see, Mondays and Thursdays. And that's in addition to that 30 minutes. But as far as what I do relative to networking, it's 30 minutes a week. And here's what I do. First of all, I respond to any messages. So anything that's come in, I'm going to answer that. I'm going to accept or reject invitations to connect. You know, they're going to be right there sitting waiting for me to see. I'm going to say hello to new connections. So I can go into my new connections. I have them filtered by, you know, most recent first. And I can look and see, have I already messaged this individual? Have I already said hello? And I usually say something like, thanks so much for connecting with me. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to support you. Think about a generic-ish email that you can send out, that first, like, thank you, hello, glad you connected with me. And then where do you want to go from there? I'm all about templates. You can customize them a bit, but have that basic framework that you can start with so that your networking with LinkedIn can be a little bit more automated. Then after that, I send some wishes for birthdays, promotions, new jobs, that kind of stuff. When I'm responding to people's posts, I'm commenting on them, I like to go by the 5-word minimum rule that I've kind of set for myself. So I don't just like it, and I don't just say great article or, you know, congratulations. I say at least 5 words because I want to establish a strong online presence, and I want to establish myself as a subject matter expert, and saying great article doesn't really do that for me. Here are some additional things you might want to do while you're on LinkedIn, depending on your goal. You might want to seek out people to connect with. You might need a little bit more time than 15 minutes a couple times a week to do that. And you may also want to periodically check in with your existing contacts. So I have known clients who've been very successful in setting up a spreadsheet, and they go through their contacts and they do X number of contacts per day, per week. It depends on what they're doing. If they're actively job searching and maybe they're out of work, they might do that every single day. But they're just reaching out to kind of reconnect with people on a regular basis. And to be clear, that last one is a long game. So you would want to have a strategy and just kind of evaluate and see, am I getting traction from that? Are they writing back to me? Are they saying hello? You know, is it going into the ether? I will tell you that that is an activity that I was very active with a few years ago, and I wasn't getting traction from that. And so that I moved on to something else. But I want you to try that for yourself. And the idea is that you're just saying, hello, it's been a while. You know, what are you up to? Here's what I'm up to. However it works for you. Now, this time on LinkedIn that I'm talking about should not be spent looking for jobs. That is a passive activity that would be completely separate from the networking that we're talking about. So based on my first suggestion, once you have a goal for why you are networking, next you want to decide how much time you can consistently give to your networking. And the key word here is consistency. So I don't want you to set yourself up for failure. And I would rather it not be, well, I'd like to get an hour in, but if I can only get in 15 minutes this week, you know, it's better than nothing. I'd rather you set the bar low and have some consistent success. And then if it's working and it's getting you where you want to go, maybe you can afford to give more time to it. So here's a couple of examples of how you might spend your time. Maybe you do one group, and this is overall, this is not just LinkedIn, this is your networking strategy. One group networking event per month. So you belong to an organization or a group, or you choose to join one, and they have a monthly meeting, you're going to go to that. You're going to have one one-to-one networking meeting per month. And you could set that up to where it is one of the people that you meet in the group that you belong to. Kind of makes it simple for you. Reach out to somebody while you're in the meeting. Say, hey, I'd really love to schedule a one-on-one with you. Y'all exchange contact information and take it from there. And then 30 minutes per week networking on LinkedIn. And that's going to equal about 5.5 to 6 hours a week. And I'm counting travel time for that networking event as well. So that's at most 1.5 hours a week. Another example would be one event where you can network each week. So maybe it's not called a networking event, but again, the people aren't too drunk, the music's not too loud. 15 minutes a day networking on LinkedIn. So with this one, we're going to spend a little bit more time on networking. And this is going to equal about 7.5 hours a month, so a little under 2 hours a week on networking. So you've got a variety here. So I've given you an example of how I do it in 30 minutes a week, 5.5 hours a month, 7.5 hours a month, and there's lots of permutations in between that. This can be done without taking too much of your time. And I want to circle around to Stephen Covey's quadrants. And if you're at all a devotee of Stephen Covey, he talks about quadrant 2, and that's the important but not urgent quadrant. And that's where he wants you to kind of live your life as much as possible. Quadrant 2 activities result in, this is according to Stephen Covey, better balance, more control, fewer crises, greater vision and perspective, and more discipline. So think about it that way. So these are things that are very important, but don't have that critical urgency to it where you're putting out a fire. You get to be more proactive and planful. So I invite you to approach your networking as a quadrant 2 activity, because it is. Plan accordingly, and hopefully you can get to a place of, again, better balance, more control, fewer crises, greater vision and perspective, and more discipline. I'm for all of those things, and I'm sure you are too. Hope this has given you some food for thought of how you might use your networking time. And for heaven's sakes, I hope that I have impressed upon you that it is critically important that you do network even when you're not looking for a job. So I hope this has been helpful, and I will see you next week. Take care. If you enjoyed this podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you subscribed and left me a review. If you would like to discuss working with me to achieve your job search or career goals, my calendar link is in the show notes.